Well, now we, in our service, take some time out to pick up this great book, and it's the Bible, and we've got copies on the sides, and ushers have bring them, so if you don't have one, don't worry at all, we've got plenty of copies. If you just raise your hand, someone will bring you one. You can see people all over the place doing that, so do, if you want a Bible, have one in front of you. And we're going to turn to Hebrews chapter 12 and page 1210 in the Bibles you're just being passed right now. Page 1210, Hebrews chapter 12. And we've been looking at this book of Hebrews for a number of months now, before Christmas, and then we've just picked it up again last week. And it's a book that helps us make sense of really the Old Testament and the New, and helps us see how the whole Bible points to Jesus, this one that Emma and Sandra and Vicky were talking about. And Hebrews is a book that talks as well about what it is to have faith in God and live for Him, even in tough times. So we're going to read just a few verses from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. And we're going to talk about how to keep going. We've seen Emma and Sandra and Vicky say they want to live their life for Jesus. How do we keep going? How do we do that as we live our lives? So Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. We'll probably just read to verse 4 even. Verse 3. It says this: therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Let me pray and ask God to help us understand his word this morning. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for how it helps us see Jesus more clearly and understand who he is. So I pray now, help me, help each one of us here, that you would open our eyes, as it were, to see you more clearly and to know how we can live for you in our world today. In Jesus' name, amen. I really want to take the next few minutes and tell you about a friend of mine, the one who means more to me than any other. I have a wonderful wife, a wonderful children, wonderful friends here within the church, but there's one that means more to me even than these, and it's Jesus Christ. The one we were singing about, the one who, you see, Jesus' friendship with me and love for me is so much that he was willing to give of himself and die in my place so that I could have eternity with him. Yes, with my wife, with my friends, and with others as they come and join him. And the thing is, in my life, that I know that the good days are days when I say yes to Jesus. Days when I keep my eyes on him, and the bad days are the days when I forget him, when I ignore him. And so this morning, I really want to say to Emma and to Vicky and to Sandra, as you keep going in the Christian life now, as you've made this step and you get baptized at the end of our service, as you keep going, keep looking to Jesus. And I want to say to those in the church who come regularly, week after week, my encouragement to you this morning, above all else, is keep your eyes fixed on Jesus and live for him. And if you're here as a visitor this morning, if you maybe just come in through the doors either for the baptism or for some other reason, I hope that in this next few minutes you're going to see that Jesus is such a wonderful person that you'll understand something of why Sandra, Vicky, and Emma have come up here and said what they said and decided to be baptized and make that display, where they're basically saying, Jesus matters so much to me. So that's where I'm going. And as I do that, I want us to see from this passage that this journey of faith is like a race. It's a great race. I love watching races. I grew up in Kenya, as many here know. And so I really enjoy things like the Olympics when you get not only the guys from Great Britain doing great in the cycling and the rowing, but then you see all the Kenyans doing their long distance running, and it's fantastic. And do you know who it was who won the marathon at the end of the Beijing Olympics? Do you know who it was? Any guesses? Samuel Wanjiru. I'm seeing some smiles from my Kenyans friends at the back there. Samuel Wanjiru, we have a picture of him, and it's the final race in the Olympics, and there he is. He comes into the auditorium, and he breaks the tapes. He's gone all the way, and a fantastic moment. The crowds are cheering. But you see, this race that's described in our passage this morning, this is not a rat race or even a charity race or even an Olympic race or even just the race of life. No, this is a race for eternal life, a race for abundant life, a race for a wonderful life with God forever. It's the race that, if you were here last week, those in Hebrews 11 were running, the heroes of the faith, the race of faith and obedience that results in this wonderful heavenly city, heavenly country, eternity with this wonderful, good, and loving, and gracious, and powerful God. But a bit different from a marathon, it's not actually a competition. It's not a competition so that, you know, if Emma or Sandra or Vicky or who wins, you know, it's not of that. We're not competing with one another. But it is important to finish. It's really important to finish. And as I was thinking about this, a film came to my mind. Some of you might have seen it. A film called Cool Runnings, where the Jamaican sprinters decide that they can't get into the Olympics this year, these sprinters. So they decide they're going to form a bobsleigh team. And if you've seen the film, you know it's a lot of laughs. And they're in this final bit of their bobsleigh competition, and they actually have a crash, and we're going to pick up the film just there and just watch just a few minutes of this film as we think about what it means to make sure we finish the race. So let's see if it works.
Therese, you're dead?
No, ma. I'm not dead. I have to finish the race. Thank you.
made it. They made it, and the crowds were cheering. And in this passage here in front of us, as we think about this race for eternal life, the race of faith and obedience, there's people cheering. Look down in Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, these people who are like those in Hebrews 11 and those who've gone before and run this race of faith and obedience in God, those who said, I'm trusting Jesus and I'm living for heaven, those people are witnesses. Now, what is a witness? Well, you could think a witness is someone who sees something. That's one way you could use the word. But you can also have a witness, which is how it's used more in the book of Hebrews, as someone who tells others about something they've seen. And these crowd of witnesses, imagine them all around a stadium around us. You know, this is not us we're talking about here. This is the great cloud of witnesses. They're shouting and they're saying, Emma, it's great. Keep going. It's worth it. I did it. You can do it. Sandra, Vicky, it's worth it. Keep going. This race is worth it. Go for it. And they're cheering us on. Can you hear them this morning? Cheering you on wherever you are in this race of faith and obedience. They're cheering. They're saying, it is worth it. That's what the crowd is saying. Listen to the crowd. That's the first thing I want you to see this morning. Listen to the crowd cheering you on, saying it's worth it. And here's what they might be saying to some here in this room. They might be shouting to those who've been running the race of faith and obedience, following Jesus for many years. They might be saying, finish well. Finish well. Keep going. You're almost there. Don't give up now. I know it's tough, but it's worth it. And they might be saying to others who are in the middle of the race, maybe you started being baptized and you're pressing on and you hit a difficult situation, struggle. So Emma was really honest and just shared in her story. Life is a struggle before and after you meet Jesus. It's difficult. But you know what helps? It's when you listen to the crowd and hear them say, the crowd there in Hebrews 12 that are saying it's worth it. Keep living for Jesus. Keep going. And then lastly, there might be some, as you just might have seen on the screen, little sneak preview. There might be some, and you actually think, I'm not in this race yet. And they would want to be shouting out to you this morning, saying, it's worth it. Get going. Get going in this wonderful race for eternal life with God. So that's the crowd. That's that first little verse. But then there's something else that helps us realize how important and how precious is this race. And that's this. We read in verse, the next little bit, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. So the next thing we see is that we need to throw off anything that doesn't help. And if you're running a race, you can tell it's an important race when you're not just kind of flaffing about or doing whatever you like or carrying things you don't need to be carrying, but you're thinking, this race is so important that anything I don't need, I'm going to not carry. You don't see people in the Olympic Games when they're just doing it to get a little medallion or trophy. You don't see them, you know, carrying things with them as they go round or tying up their shoelaces and trying to go along. No, no, no. Anything that's going to get in the way, they've streamlined. Some of them have even started streamlining their clothes now in those Olympic races. And they're just doing whatever they can. And in fact, there's a pastor in Minneapolis in the States who says this about this passage. He says that the main point of this passage is really derives behind this one imperative, run. Everything else supports it, explains it, or gives motivation for it. Run the race set before you. Don't stroll. Don't meander. Don't wander aimlessly. Run as in a race with a finish line with everything hanging on it. This is an important race. Because what's at stake isn't just a gold medallion, but eternity. Life. Not just life here as we know it. Abundant glorious life. And so throw off the rubbish that is really rubbish in comparison. Throw off, and he mentions two things. He mentions kind of weights and sins. And it's like he's saying, don't even ask the question, is this okay or not? Is this a bad thing to do or not? Is this a sin? Sin is the things that we know displease God. But a weight might be something that is not necessarily good or bad. It's just weighing you down as you try to run the race. It's just getting in the way from you being effective. And the passage says, just don't carry those things. Throw them off. Let go of them. Just press on for the prize that's worth it. These things are not worth it. And they might be things that are in your own kind of lives, whether that's practical things that you need to get sorted in your life that you just know, this is not helping me run the race. Or they might be things in your secret life. No one else sees, but you know they're not helping you run. It might be personal things. Sometimes we can carry bitterness in our heart that just drags you down and stops you running this race effectively. It might be that it's a relational thing, relationship with someone else that you need to sort out or get right. But it's hampering you running this race effectively. But every one of us will have things in our life that are getting between us and others and getting between, more importantly, us and God. Because that's what the Bible says. The Bible says that every one of us here, myself included, has sinned. And it doesn't just say that. It actually says that until we get to heaven, every one of us will wrestle with temptation and sin. In fact, it says that if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. So this is a battle that we've got to keep doing. You've got to keep throwing off these weights and these sins all the way until you finish. Because they'll try, like mud sticking to your shoes, try and come and grab you. And sin is so rubbish. It never helps you. It never brings the pleasure and the long-term joy that you think it's going to bring. It might just bring it for a nanosecond, but then after that, it's just a mess. We see it, don't we, all over our world. We see the greed that brought great joy in the city for a while, but where's it got everyone now? We see it, don't we? People who relationships have start and they're not built on the right kind of things or attitudes, and then different things come in and relationships break down. Why do relationships break down? It's because of these sins and weights, these things that get in the way. We see it, don't we, in nations. Zimbabwe, pride. We all look at Mugabe and point fingers, but so often when we're pointing fingers, fingers are pointing back at us. There's pride in all of our lives. It's ugly. What about what's gone on in Northern Ireland recently? Bitterness, unresolved. It's a mess. It's rubbish. Throw it off. And throw it off and look ahead to what is far, far better. Look to one who can help you deal with your sin, help you get through it. And yes, we do need help. We need someone to come and draw alongside us and help us as we're running this race. And that's what we have in this next thing we see in our passage. We have a wonderful one who comes and draws alongside. It says, run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Then verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 12, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on this one who's run the race perfectly. This one who has gone through sufferings and difficulties but never sinned. This one who came into our world. He endured all kinds of difficulties. It says this, who endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You see, Jesus is the one who enables us in this journey, but he's also the one who's like an example for us in this journey. And that's not just for a few of us, that's for all of us here. You see, Jesus, it says, is the author and the perfecter, or the pioneer and the finisher. He's the one at the beginning and the one at the end. So whether you're this morning struggling about starting this journey, this race, whether you're this morning thinking, how do I start it? How do I deal with this sin, this baggage in my life? How do I find some of that peace and joy that I saw in Emma and Sandra and Vicky? How do I get that? If you're struggling in the beginning, then Jesus is what you need. You need to look to Jesus. He's the way in. He described himself and said, I'm like the gate, he said. And you come to him and you say, Jesus, I can't do this business of getting eternal life on my own. I need you. Help me. Forgive me. I want to follow you. That's the way in. But it might be that that's not what you're struggling with. You might not be struggling with how to start. You might be struggling with how to finish. How to keep going. How to run with perseverance when you've got financial challenges and things going wrong in your life and how you've discovered that you're getting temptation and sin coming into your life. Even at this point when you've been living in as a Christian for a number of years and you're thinking, how do I keep going? Well, Jesus is not just the way in, he's the way on. Many of you have heard me say that before. And so as your pastor here this morning, I would say if you've been following Jesus for many, many years, what do you need this morning? You need to do this. You need to look to Jesus again. Look to him and get help from him. Consider him. Consider the cross for a moment. The cross is the place that I come back to time and time again, often thinking about songs that we sung. We sung, didn't we, In Christ Alone. Let me just read to you this little bit from that hymn we sung, In Christ Alone. I think in this one it's right here. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God and helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on the cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ, I live. You see, the things that make me not live, the things that make my life shriveled up, is when I think I've messed up. Those are the things that shrivel up my life. And I can't deal with them on my own. But when I come to him and see what he's done on the cross, where he's paid the price for my messing up, because he never messed up, when I come and discover that, then I find life in his death. I find life. Whether I'm at the start of my journey, the middle, or coming to the end, I come back to this glorious cross. And I see him and all that he endured as he, for the joy set before him, he went through it knowing what lied ahead. And you know, part of the joy that was set before him in Hebrews 12, when it says that, in the middle of verse 2, part of the joy was knowing that as he was doing this terrible thing of being crucified, he knew that you were going to be part of that family that he was going to win for himself in that act, and he was going to get to spend eternity with you. So you were his joy. And the cross speaks to me that I'm loved. The cross should speak to you that you're loved more than you could ever imagine. Someone loved you enough to die for you. But it's not just that. When I think about Jesus, I don't just think about the cross. I think about what happened after the cross, where he didn't just die, but as we're going to remember at Easter, he rose again and ascended to heaven. And now he reigns at the right hand of the throne of God. He is sovereign over all. And so, as Vicky was singing, whatever tomorrow faces, whatever I face tomorrow, I face it with him. And he reigns and rules over it all. And he's wonderful and I can trust him. And so as I press on in this race, I look to him and I consider him. And I think, this is good. I can keep going. This is worth it. Because he is worth it. He is the most wonderful, amazing person there ever was, ever is. He died for you and I. He didn't stay dead. He rose again and he's now ascended on high. And we will get all of eternity to get to know him better. I read a short little message. Sometimes as a preacher, that's a good thing to do, read someone else's messages. And this one was actually by an old Frenchman. It's translated, and it was given to me by a lady who's now gone to heaven. She died about a month ago, Mary Cruikshank. And in this message, it just said a whole list of things. It said, look unto Jesus. Look to Jesus. And not to your successes. Look to Jesus. And not to your failures. Look to Jesus and not to your sin. Look to Jesus and not to your own pretense of righteousness, trying to pretend you've got life sorted. Look to Jesus and not to your strengths. Look to Jesus and not to your weaknesses. Look to Jesus and not to the things you've said you'll do for him, but look to Jesus and what he has done for you. Look to Jesus and not to your doubts. Look to Jesus and not even to your faith. That's like looking to your look rather than looking to Jesus. Look to him now. Look to him tomorrow. Look to him always. Because he is the one who can save you for all eternity. Let me show you how dangerous it is not to look at him. The only time I've had an accident in my car was when I was driving along the coast road, going to work very slowly. And as I was driving along, I've done the route so many times, I thought I knew where I was going and everything. And I just looked the other way. I didn't look at the road in front. And in that moment, split second, the car in front braked. Because I wasn't looking the right place, I just drove into the back of him. Happened to be a colleague from work. You see, when you're not looking where you're meant to look, that's when life falls apart. So look to Jesus. And again, it might be that as you think about that, as you think about Jesus and all he's done for you, it might be that actually you think, wow, I need to finish well. I need to keep looking. It's like Jesus is saying to you this morning, hey, you who've run so faithfully can just see people and think of names right here. Keep looking at Jesus. But it might be that you're in the middle of it and you're like, you know, that some of you might have seen Chariots of Fire where he stumbles and falls, Eric Liddell, in this race, and his coach is saying, get up, lad, get up and look. Look to Jesus. Look the way you should go. Could have shown that clip as well. But it might be there's others. And you don't need to finish well. You don't need to just keep going. You need to get going. And as you think about Jesus, you think, I'm not even following him. I don't even know where to start. Well, maybe this will help you. When I was growing up, I saw others who had faith in Jesus. I saw something in their lives that I was drawn to. I saw them change as I spent time with them. And as I was growing up, I looked and thought, I want what they've got. I want to know this friendship with Jesus that they talk about. They seem to talk about it in a very personal way. I want to know what they've got. And someone explained to me that I needed to realize that first I couldn't do it on my own. And then all I needed to do was invite Jesus to come into my life and say, I want to follow him for the rest of my life. And that is something you can do today if you want to get going. You can come and do a bit like what an athlete does when they're at the beginning of a race. They look down, don't they? Often they look down and they're kind of considering. And as I look down, I look at myself. I think there's not much good in me. It's going to get me to heaven. And that's what we need to do is we look down. We just need to recognize there's no good in us. We can't get there on our own. But then we need to look up. That's what these athletes do. They look up. And as we look ahead, we look to Jesus. He's the champion, not us. We look to the one who can. We can't. And we look to him. We say, I believe in you, Jesus. Help me. I'm going to follow you. So as we end this message this morning, I want to do just that. I want to say, finish well. Keep looking to Jesus. Throw off the things that are getting in the way. And if you're going for it, I want to say, keep going. Listen to the crowds as they cheer you on. Sandra, Vicky, Emma, keep going. And if you've never started yet, I want to say, get going. Don't wait. It's worth it. It is worth it. And I'm going to end by saying a simple prayer, which you can echo in your heart like I prayed when I was growing up and I saw in others something that I wanted to start. And I prayed this prayer and then began my race for eternal life, my journey of faith and following Jesus. And I'm going to pray in this short prayer those two things. I'm going to admit my need and I'm going to say I believe in Jesus. And if you want to start that race. If you want to get going, then pray that with me in your own heart. And just tell Jesus that you want to follow him. As we just come now and bow our heads and pray. Let's just bow our heads. Just in this moment of quiet, take a moment to consider the direction of your life. Do you know where you're going? Do you know who you're following? Can you get to heaven on your own? Do you need a Savior? Do you want to follow Jesus? And if you want to get going this morning, start that race. Then just echo these words, just in your own heart. You don't need to say them out loud. Say, Jesus, I'm sorry. Sorry for the many times I've messed up. I can't get to heaven on my own. Thank you for dying for me. I believe in you. I receive your forgiveness. And I want to follow you. So help me, Jesus. Amen.